we whack them, we rip them out, we poison them. You know, there's something pathetic about man beating up on a little plant just because man labeled that plant a weed. Plants don't make moral judgments like this. We do. Well, the weed is what brings us the man that the British call their foremost nature writer. He's Richard Mabee, and it's no coincidence that he has done a book called Weeds, in defense of nature's most unloved plants. Richard, it's good to have you with us. Welcome.
It's lovely to be with you, Lynn.
Richard, who makes this decision? Who stands on high and decides this plant is a weed and that plant is not a weed?
Well, I think everybody's made that decision at some stage in their life about any plant that got in their way. The first weeds, of course, only happened when human beings began cultivating plants. In choosing a plant which was going to be domestically desirable, you automatically, even without thinking, created the category of the plants that were not desirable. And when the latter began intruding, as they instantly did, into the territories you allocated for the growing of your food plants, then both the category of weed was created and the circumstances under which it would flourish were also created.
I had always understood that weeds were the first foods of early man.
Were the first foods, yes. But it's a philosophical problem, this, if you go back that early. Let's take it out of the abstract into a specific. One of the very early crop plants of Neolithic man was a member of the spinach family called fat hen. I think probably in America it's sometimes known as lamb's quarters. And in the wild it grows in rich floodplains that are disturbed by flood tides and wild grazing animals. Mm-hmm. But as soon as early humans began creating small settlements and enriching them with the manure of their pastured animals, fat hen moved out of the wilderness to grow very close to humans. And it was immediately noticed and began to be used as a crop plant, both for its leaves, which resemble a spinach, but also for its large mealy seed heads, which were made into early flowers and gruels. We're talking about 5,000 years ago at this point. Now, fat hen, lamb's quarters, remained a rough crop plant for the next 4,000 years. But at the point at which better spinach-like vegetables were developed and better plants for producing nutritious seeds, it changed its category into a weed. The plant itself didn't change, but we had made a decision that it was no longer the desirable plant, but ones which were had bigger leaves or grew in a more orderly way were the ones that were desirable. And so fat hen dropped its status and got rebranded as a weed.
Richard, where do you want us to go with this weed insight? I mean, what do you feel the weed has to tell us about now?
What I think weeds have to tell us, first of all, we need to ask questions of them. I think we need to stop having the simple knee-jerk reflex that here is a plant that culturally we have called a weed. We don't ask any questions about why it's there. We ask questions about how to get rid of it. And I think that it would be very salutary if we started asking questions about why it's there, because you would then unlock a narrative about the plant in which all human history is entangled, and you would begin to understand that weeds have a purpose. Their purpose in nature is to try and repair damaged ground. They classically only appear on cultivated soil, in gardens or farms, on battlefields, in building sites, anywhere that human beings have wrecked the soil to do projects of their own, weeds come in and try and repair it. But there is an actually more immediate and human-centred use. All cultivated vegetables, all cultivated ornamental flowers began with wild plants. They couldn't exist otherwise. And increasingly, I think, plant breeders are finding that the highly overbred cultivars, let's say with a plant like the tomato, are like all highly bred organisms, increasingly susceptible to disease, vulnerable to weather changes in a way that their wild ancestors weren't. Their wild ancestors had to evolve in such a way as to be plants for all seasons. And what plant breeders are doing at the moment is going back to the, as it were, weeds from which cultivated vegetables originated, and trying to breed them back into the cultivars and to see if they can recapture some of that wild vigour. So they have a very practical modern use at a time when our food stocks are threatened by all kinds of the diseases of over cultivation and overproduction, in being perhaps the stock to which plant breeders can return.
Lessons in flourishing from a weed. Richard, thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Richard Mabey is one of Britain's foremost nature writers. His latest book is Weeds, in Defense of Nature's Most Unloved Plants. Well, to see how classy a weed can become, try my recipe, pan-fried dandelion greens with tomatoes. You know where to find it. Splendidtable.org.